Hello, I'm Greg Stevens, and welcome to your home group. We are excited. Listen, it's already lively in here.
Yeah.
So we want to welcome you. Get your Bible, pad of paper, whatever it is, your coffee, and join us in the Spirit of Faith, where we talk about what you want to hear about. It's your group, and we talk about things in the Spirit of Faith, not based upon what we think, but what the Word says. So tonight, we're talking about something. What keeps you up at night? This is one of the requested topics from you, our viewers, to talk about in the Spirit of Faith. Sleep. The biblical tradition suggests that even at the very formation of life, God created rhythms to control the world. Understanding that would be necessary for the rhythm of light and darkness to exist before there were plants and animals and man could survive. Today, we know that light is necessary for our sleeping and waking rhythms to stay intact. References to the Bible often occur as part of a larger discussion on other topics. It rarely talks about sleep, but it does talk about sleep in context of other things, okay? So, for example, sleep is seen simply as a gift from God. He provides as much for His loved ones while they sleep, Psalms 127:2. Another aspect of sleep in the Bible refers to sleep sent by God for special purposes or for revelation. The first mention of sleep, law of first reference, is in Genesis. When Adam's rib was removed to create Eve, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, Genesis 2:21. The book of Esther, sleep deserted the king when he realized he had not rewarded Mordecai for saving his life, in chapter 6. The book of Daniel, King Darius, sleep fled from him after he'd thrown Daniel into the lion's den, in chapter 6. Anxiety and stress are known to cause insomnia. So tonight, we're talking about what is it that keeps you up at night. I want to know what you're saying. So I have my iPad right here. We're going to give you information right now on the screen and regularly throughout the night. If you're on Facebook, welcome. Go ahead and type in your comments and questions right now. If you want to text us, you can text us at 682-302-1301 or ask home group at govictory.com. Now, we run into many of you, as I travel out, as Dale, as Cynthia, different ones travel out, we get to meet so many of you, and it's wonderful to hear what you think about home group. And we have such a thing tonight. A lady sent us a little video. Watch this, and we'll come right back.
My name is Leanne Green. I'm from Licking, Missouri. There's only one Licking in all of the United States, and that's where I'm from. And the reason that I watch home group is because it's real. It's real people talk about real issues, and it gives inspiration, encouragement, and I love you guys.
Aww. And we love you. Yeah. Now listen, Licking, Missouri, I've never heard of it in my life. I've never heard of it. Let me introduce you to everybody. My wife, Michelle, is right here. Cynthia is right there as well. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Hi, everybody. I miss you all already.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay.
Oh, good. Good. Now, who are you? You're Dale.
Dale Moore. Dale. Good to see you guys.
I forget who Dale was. Dale's with us. And Jim Talbot is back with us as well. And so I'm waiting for you to say it.
Don't say it.
No, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Jim Talbot, JT, better known as Chili. He has as much names as I have here.
You did not just say that.
I did.
Listen, if you want to send us a video, we would love for you to do that. And you can do the same thing, use the same email address right there, and you can send us a video. We'd love to put you on as well. And we thank you for being part of this. You really make the program. Wow, they're already starting to come in. But tonight we're talking about what keeps you up at night. Now, when you think of that, when you first think of that, what do you think of when I say what keeps you up at night?
Worry.
Really?
Yeah, or, you know, pressures in your life, right? This dominating my thought life, right?
Okay.
So that would keep me up at night. So why is it important that I get sleep?
Well, you want to grumpy.
Well, well we mentioned
Grumpy Dale. Yeah. Grumpy Dale shows up at work.
That's not true. So we talked about the first two, some of the points of sleep in Scripture, right? The second point, which I really like, is called deep sleep.
Yeah.
And that was with Abraham. So right. God put Abraham into a deep sleep. And if you study that out,
same word in Hebrew and with Jonah.
Yeah.
They had to wake him up in a storm.
There were so many. And that is a, they call that REM sleep.
Right.
Where you're at your deepest point of sleep. They call that REM sleep because it's called...
rapid eye movement.
It's your eyes are moving, but your body's very still. And that's when you're downloading or organizing thought in your life.
How do you know that?
It's a topic.
Because you're asleep when you do that.
Well, man, I've studied sleep because I saw that in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, labor to enter into rest.
Right.
You know, you're always, I love sleep, the sleep part of it, because that's a part of programming. Yep. So you can program yourself, you know that. Mm-hmm. You can program yourself on purpose at night before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I've studied that, and okay. I do that every night before I go
to bed. Okay, so what else? First thing when you say, what keeps you up at night, what comes to you?
Oh, me. Well.
Your turn.
What would it be?
It could be pain.
It could be pain.
It could be thoughts of your children.
So that's mental pain or physical pain?
It's getting all technical. Okay. No, it could be physical pain.
Okay.
Because I had that some years ago. I had a problem with sciatic nerve,
okay. Right.
And that can keep you up,
yeah,
because you can't really take anything for it. But most of the time, most I believe would be the biggest thing would be money, lack of bills. That would someone wakes up in the night or doesn't get to sleep at night. That can be a major thing.
Yeah, that's
Jim.
That's probably me.
When you first hear that phrase, what keeps you up?
When I first hear that, I think. And I would say most people are up at night or not sleeping well because of worry, anxiety, fear.
Okay.
Fear.
But now, besides me, besides me, what keeps you up?
I just want to be real.
Snoring.
This is real TV.
I didn't say that because I'm a snorer.
It's a big one.
Good thing my wife is not here. Okay.
No, but honestly, I'm just being honest. But honestly, I think for me, it's trying to navigate how my children's lives are going and how to help them.
Mm-hmm. Thank process.
So you see, here's the first thing that I thought of when this topic came in. I said, oh yeah, we got to do this topic.
Yeah.
And we want to know what you would like us to cover, you know, because we want to know, we want you to be part. The first thing that came to me was not worry or anxiety or pain or anything like that. The first thing that came to me was what I want accomplished in my life.
Also, goal setting.
It's a goal. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that we haven't gotten there yet, and I want to get there. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me up. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that drives me.
That's good, Greg.
And so it's a total different thing for me.
It's the other side of worry.
It really is.
It's goal oriented.
And sometimes for me, it's shutting it off for where I want us to be.
Yeah.
Where I want us to be as a family, where I want us to be as a ministry, where I want us to be as... And so I have to learn to shut that off and say... We have a new phrase that we're saying. What is it?
I don't know.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
That's true.
So here we go.
And then that puts you to sleep. You go to sleep right after that.
I think of that in the day. At night, I'm sleeping.
No, I do. At night is when I start dreaming about the
future. At night, I wake up. I'm not thinking about it. That's too heavy at night. I need to go back to sleep. But, okay.
That's before we go to sleep.
I'm probably the same way, but... I was speaking for most people, the thought that came to me. Most people worry. A lot of
people. Okay, well, so I did a study, a sleep disorder study, and they did a thing all across America, and they asked all these people, and I don't know who it is they ask, but here it is. 10 things that keep you up at night. Number one was aches and pains.
Interesting.
Well, number one.
Cynthia's
number one.
On it.
Number one was aches and pains. Number two is television, telephones, and other technology. It causes your body to associate bedtime with a waking activity rather than a sleeping activity.
Mm. That's a good point.
Interesting. That was number two.
I'm not admitting to that.
Number three. I'm trying to do this here. Here we go. Number three is stress. 46% of the research subjects reported that worrying about work kept them awake at night, while 60% reported that chores or family activities and relationship issues were responsible for their sleep problems. That was number three. Number four is environmental distractions like noise, traffic noise.
The next door neighbor's pet.
that dog.
Yeah,
or your own pets, like the litter box downstairs type of deal, or an unwelcome paw on your face, you know, in the middle of the night, disrupt, prevent your sleep. Here's number five, alcohol.
Interesting.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Yeah. That would make me sleep, I thought.
But it,
listen, it while really? It doesn't last, it while many last. People use alcohol as a sedative,
that's right.
They're learned that it actually works against a sleep routine in your body. Six, caffeine. I thought caffeine would have been number one. Six is caffeine as a stimulant. It should be, come as no surprise, that caffeine keeps you awake. Number seven, listen to this one, staying in bed.
Yes.
Staying in bed keeps you awake.
Staying in bed. If you're very alert while lying in bed, let's say you're counting sheep, sleep experts suggest that you get out of bed and engage in a quiet activity that does not require light instead of torturing yourself with counting sheep. Yeah. So in other words, do something. Meditate, listen to something in the dark so that you don't do a wake-up cycle. But you're laying there in bed and you're not accomplishing anything. So get up and do something.
That's a good one.
Number eight, hunger or thirst. When your blood sugar drops during the night, the sensation can be strong enough to wake you up and send you into a raid the fridge mission.
That ever doesn't work well.
Doesn't work right?
Yeah, because if you lay down on that food, it's not good.
So number nine is exercise.
I've done that before.
The more you exercise throughout the day will help you to fall asleep at night. However, exercising too close to bedtime will render you unable to wind down in time so that you miss your scheduled time. Right. And then number 10 was your social life. It's hard to give up fun for your health, but in the long run, it's better to schedule social activities around the sleep you need rather than working sleep around your fun schedule. In other words, go home from the party and go to bed.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're discussing this tonight. That was a study that a sleep apnea or sleep center of the top 10 things of what they were.
Now, does home group keep you awake at night?
Mm-hmm.
No,
I don't think so.
When I go home tonight, you know, it's Wednesday night, try to go to sleep.
Okay.
I will run this through, you know, I'll think about this person's question, that person's question,
But I could have said
This is what, you know, pray for that lady.
Okay, so let me get to some of your questions. If you have questions, please text them to 682-302-1301. Facebook, just type it in directly. We have a whole team of people that are going through these and screening them, and they send them directly to me. Or you can email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Okay, here is Sherry. She said night sweats sometimes keep her awake.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to have that fan on. I'm just
for sure. Unless your husband doesn't like the fan.
Yeah.
Well, then you got to work that out.
The air down. I mean.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a text. You're a smart man. The text says, "My wife keeps me up." Bryce says, "The unknown."
Oh, the unknown.
The unknown.
Yeah.
Is a situation.
Future thought.
Or worry, yeah.
Okay, let's just take this one. Here's one that says, "I'm afraid to go to work. I'm still afraid to go to work. I have a new supervisor, and although he's been okay, he has picked on me from the small things that don't make sense. I go to feeling like he wants to get rid of me. He'll be nice one moment and then pick up something and our miscue the next minute or next. Mm. It's been working there for 5 years, and it's causing anxiety."
I know what I would do in that instance.
Go, Dale.
Okay. So you're using your imagination, right? We're all using our imagination before we go on the bed. So those thoughts that you're having are basically your imagination. You may be building more things upon that aren't really even true. So what I do, right, I confront that and I go, you know what, these things may not be true, they could be true, but I'm going to use my imagination in a different way before I go to sleep. All right, I'm going to imagine this guy loves me. I'm going to imagine that we get along. So you start seeing things, and when you start seeing things, then you start expecting things. So you walk into work not afraid. Mm-hmm. Right? So one thing that, so I could give you this point that I use. Before I go to sleep at night, I say this: I love people and people love me. So I sow that on purpose. You know, my father was a gardener. So he sowed, at the end of the year, he sowed collard greens. Well, you sowed thousands of seeds. Well, thousands of collard greens didn't come up, okay? You had a 50% harvest on that. But every piece of corn that he sowed came up because you planted that seed. You pierced the ground on purpose with a thought. Mm. You pierced the ground on purpose. That's different than casting seeds. So I purposely sow beliefs and things into my heart on purpose before I go to sleep. So you could start sowing that seed on purpose. You could say, this is a purposeful seed. I love people. I love that man. I love my boss. I expect that he loves me, and I'm expecting a different outcome. So sow things on purpose, and here's your scripture, okay? So we're going to take the scripture. A man sows a seed. He goes to bed, and it grows, and he knows not how. Right? So you're going to produce this plant. You're going to sow a seed, and it's going to produce a plant. It's going to take some time. So you're going to continue to cultivate that belief every night, and it will bear fruit. And you'll see people, when I see people, Cynthia, Greg, Chili, Michelle, I expect that they love me. I just expect that. So I have no fear in approaching anybody because I've sown that in on purpose
That's
in my
really
heart.
Good.
That right? is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a you know, there when you sow collard greens, you ever done that? Dad would do it at the end of the year.
He never done.
Till the garden, and you just had packets of it, and you just sling it.
Grandpa.
You would just sling it. Mm. And so we would get maybe, you know, 150 turnips on a big piece of ground.
Yeah.
I mean, he sowed thousands of seeds, but when he sowed a piece of corn, one piece of corn, on purpose, the right time of the year, purposely put it in the ground. So it's not just casting seed.
Yeah.
You got to live life on purpose, and you got to make beliefs on purpose. So make that belief on purpose in your heart. Make it on purpose. Say, this, I love people. I actually love this boss, and he actually loves me, and I see things in him, and he sees things in me.
That's like John. John.
Yeah, you planted on purpose.
Jesus loved all of the disciples, but John is the one that got it.
Well, this is
and
what
he would always say that about himself.
Right. He said, the disciple whom Jesus
and
the,
right. and because the word, he got it.
That's right. He did.
He got it.
And you can say that.
And see?
I've been saying that.
You've been saying that?
Yeah.
You've been saying that. Well,
that's right.
This is what really strikes me with Scripture. It says this. It says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's right.
It pierces the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a single seed. You pierce the soil.
You changed your habits.
I changed my belief.
Regard. Okay, well, let me show you something.
It didn't change my habit.
From Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, clip number 3. Change your negative habits so that you can stay in faith. All right?
Yeah.
Watch this.
Tie faith to certain places and things in your life. You're changing habits. You're sowing the right seed all day long so that when you do something in this natural world, it'll trigger faith. You need faith triggers all over the place. And one of the ways to do it, put up little signs and signals all over the house. Put little scriptures everywhere until you change these negative habits. Triggers like if they sneeze. Oh, I must be coming down with something. Oh, I must be catching something. Oh, wonder what's going to happen to me now. I mean, it's just, don't let it trigger fear. Trigger faith. But you're going to have to do these things on purpose.
Do it on purpose. Do not trigger
faith.
Fear.
Trigger faith, not fear.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Something else that has worked with me, very effective. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be known unto God, and the peace of God will pass all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So, and it also says that we are to cast our care upon the Lord, for He cares for us.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the problem is. And I've learned to do this.
Okay.
I don't care how big it is. I don't care if somebody likes me, doesn't like me, or I've got a project that's not going well, what have you. When I go to bed, I take all that stuff and I say, Lord, I'm giving this to you.
Yeah.
You can handle it better than I can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm casting it over to you because I believe that you're going to take care of it. And when I pray, when I believe I receive something, I say thank you.
Yes.
See, the Bible says with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
That thanksgiving means that you believe you got it.
Yeah. You received it. Yeah.
Once I have it, it's done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to touch it again in the natural.
I love
it. There was
something I'm
going to
praise
that
God from that point on
Brother Copeland
that I have
said,
it until I see it.
About like fear of losing your job. Now, I remember him saying, don't be afraid of that. You were hunting a job when you got this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a different belief.
It's a different belief. Yeah. There's another job. Okay, I've been there 5 years. Maybe it's time to move on. Maybe not. But not to be afraid of it. Don't be afraid that, okay, he doesn't like me. How many supervisors come in and don't like you? It happens all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to, you got to like you.
I forgot. Everybody loves me. What'd you say?
Right now.
Everybody loves me, Dale.
They do love you. I agree.
But no, it's not getting into fear of things. Things that, like you say, keeping up, being up at night, thinking about family. Well, all the times, and I've told you all this before, all the time when my son was deployed, there's an opportunity.
Sure it is.
For fear.
Sure. Yeah.
And at night is when everything comes in at
it
you.
It does.
Everything. As soon as it gets dark, I don't know, you can be fine all day, but it gets dark and it's nighttime and the voices, you know, and how is he and where is he? But your fear will connect you to that person and cause an issue for them.
You know why that is? Because in the Hebrew, from the earliest times, the Jewish people, they pray at night, at the end of night, especially on the Shabbat, they pray, or which is the Sabbath, if you don't know what that is, they pray concerning their sleep in the hands of God, committing themselves.
Yeah.
And then they'll say another prayer as they wake up for their protection, because in the night is when, back in those days, they were most vulnerable.
Right.
If you look at David with King Saul, and you look at all these different situations, it was always in the night when you were most vulnerable.
Right.
And so that's why it goes back to your no fear and rolling that off on him.
Yeah.
And so that's where we learned. I remember as a little kid, and I don't know if this is a faith thing or not, but isn't it funny I can still repeat it? Now I lay me down to sleep.
Sure.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
You know,
if I should, whatever, before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Right.
Well, first of all, I'm already there with him, right? Yeah. I don't need to pray that.
Right.
And the whole, man, my parents had me praying.
Negative prayer.
Anyway, I love you, but there we go. We didn't know.
No,
we didn't know.
No, we thought.
Rafaela sends this in. What keeps me up is either my cats or prayer. I happen to be working with the DOD, Department of Defense, and cannot allow myself to not sleep. And then she writes, go Army. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Praise God.
Awesome. Support. That's good.
Yeah. Sherry says sometimes seasonal allergies cause her to cough at night. Okay.
Yes, but find something.
Okay, here's Donna.
On that.
PTSD, if you don't know what that is, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Keeps me up a lot. Bad dreams, fear, anxiety.
Yeah, we walked through that with you a little bit, so we know a little bit about that. It's something
you can talk to this more than I can.
I don't know if you want me to tell exactly what it was, but we walked through that with Pastor Greg. He would wake up, and there are certain triggers that he doesn't even know, even to this day, that his body will physically have a trigger. And but it is a process, and we've learned what those things are, and we've learned to walk on the word, and
that's the key.
And that is the only way, to be honest, that we walk through that. Mm-hmm. And it is a walking through. It's not staying in the valley of the shadow of death. It's a walking process, and you got to keep walking. And but it is important to have somebody walk with you.
That's the key.
Yeah.
I don't hide things, and I learned not to stuff it and hide it. Right. Mm-hmm. That I need her help, and I would tell her.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
Or I can see it or sense it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been through that.
We've been through that.
And listen, you'll come out of this on the other side.
Amen. Yes.
There is deliverance for that.
Amen.
I know. Mm-hmm. Are you right?
Yes. Amen.
Do we know?
100%. 100%. Walk
Praise
through
God.
It.
Yeah.
So
glory to God.
And I'm believing right now for you.
Amen.
For complete and total deliverance from this. This is not the way you were created to be. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have the mind of Christ. You're in control of your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God rules and reigns in you
and
is overriding all of those things. Matter of fact, Brother Copeland talked about in clip number one, not to ever go to bed in fear. Don't let fear and the anxieties keep you awake. When you go to bed, deal with things that make you worry first, then sleep in faith.
That's
Watch
good.
Clip number one, Brother Copeland.
Now, here's something that I absolutely refuse to do. And those of you that have ever been healed or ever been delivered of something like epileptic seizures or cancer or something like that, that has a certain element of fear tied to it and that kind of thing, don't ever, ever say don't ever. Say it out loud. Say don't ever.
Don't ever.
Tim, say don't ever.
Don't ever.
Don't ever.
Don't ever.
Don't ever go to sleep afraid something is going to come back on you, or afraid something's not going to work for you, or afraid your child is out there in trouble. Don't you go to sleep till you deal with it.
That's right. Absolutely.
You get up out of that bed if you have to. I don't care how tired and sleepy you are. Don't you go to bed like that. I mean, you go to bed in fear instead of faith, and you open the door for the devil to spend the night with you, and you don't have any business doing that.
That's right.
Amen. I've tested it out. I've talked to people about it and ministered to people concerning that. Don't ever do that. You tie... The moment you get into bed, you tie that. The moment you turn out that light to go to sleep, you may have been lying there watching television or doing something else, reading letters in the bed, or like Gloria, she goes to bed and writes thank you notes and stuff. I mean, she don't ever quit. She just goes all the time.
Thank you.
She just goes all the time. But I don't care what that moment is in bed. The moment you turn out that light to go to sleep, put a praise in your mouth. I don't care if you're in pain, put a praise in your mouth. Oh, glory to bed, I'm going to sleep with the Word of God alive in my heart. Visit me, oh God, in my nighttime and in my sleep.
Wow, I like that.
I love it.
And that last part, visit me, oh God, in my nighttime.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of you, and listen, we want your questions and your comments and your thoughts, your program ideas for the future. Facebook, type it in. We'll get it directly. 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301 if you want to text it, or you can email. It's right there on the bottom of the screen. askhomegroup@govictory.com. Many of you have come in. Prayer. Here's a text. Prayer keeps me up at night. Not much, but waking up at 3 a.m., this is Deborah, not too much keeps me up, but waking up at 3 a.m. as I'm being woken to pray as a night watch. So what about that, the Lord waking you up? Have you experienced that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
What's that about? God knows I need sleep. Why would he wake me up in the middle of the night? That makes no sense.
You know, I've heard that it's real common that is the time period that most people wake up at. Is at 3:30. And so I was reading, because I read a lot about sleep, because the scripture says a man sows a seed, goes to bed, and it grows, he knows not how. So I'm using that method all the time. Mm. So the Jewish people, this is what they say. So, you know, this is information. They say you wake up at 3:30 because God is closest to the planet at that time. That's interesting. But I said, well, you know, that's a good explanation, but you know, but across the planet. I've read that.
Okay,
so across the planet, it usually happens at 3:30.
Assume that's right. Okay.
Yeah, so it usually happens at 3:30. Has something to do with the solar.
Oh, I see.
Where the moon is in place. So I wake up at 3:30. You wake up at 3:30? What time do you all wake up for prayer?
Different times.
Different times.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I'm always 3:30.
Yeah, it's not always 3:30 for me.
If I do that, that means I'm checking in on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll begin to search myself. If that begins to happen several times, I'll begin to search myself for things. For example, go back to Eli and Samuel.
Yeah.
And he heard this call, and he goes and he asks the prophet, the priest,
yeah,
what's this? And finally, Eli gets it himself. He says, next time it happens, you know, here's the thing, because I've told my children this. They say, I've never heard from God. I go, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
He thought it was Eli, but it was actually God.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Lord sometimes will sound like the authority that's over you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You'll hear your dad. You'll hear your pastor.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your brother Copeland.
Yeah.
You'll hear, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right.
And don't discount that. I remember one night in the middle of the night, years and years ago, it was Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
And then gets, I'm just laying there wide awake when the alarm went off. That's when the vision or whatever was stopped. And she goes, it gets in the shower and comes out. And I said, Michelle, the weirdest thing just happened. And she said, I just had a dream about Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
And we both had the same dream. Thing at the same time.
Wow. That's awesome.
It was
powerful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
still a little freaky. Yeah. Don't fully understand it, but I keep it in my file of in my brain of the I don't understand it, but I'm not going to speak against it.
Now I get up and write them down when that happens.
Do you?
Yes, I keep a notepad by the bed, right? Because when you wake, the seed, you know,
good.
It's grown. So there's a notepad by the bed because I'll usually have a dream, and it's like a download, and the Lord's explaining something in the way that He explains it to me, and I know exactly what He's talking about. So I get up and I write it down. So if you're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd say get you a notepad, start writing things down, make a journal.
Do you lose sleep over? I mean, I don't lose
sleep. No, I don't
lose. If the Lord wakes me up at that time or whatever time, I immediately go right back to sleep. Mm-hmm. I immediately wake up refreshed.
And you still refreshed.
It's never
it's very pleasant.
A dream.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always feel elevated.
Like you wake up with music. Music is always going through.
I was called.
Wow.
It's like
that's
radio
awesome.
Station. It always.
That's awesome.
Always in the middle of the night. Music.
You wake up singing?
I wake up with the music. It's just going through my head. Yeah. And sometimes, if I can't think of the word, I have to go find that. I have to go find what it says.
Hmm. I
got to go look in the hymn book.
Well, I was called to a period of intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. And the Lord would wake me up 2-3 o'clock, and I'd pray for an hour or two, just pray in the Spirit. Because you know not what we pray as we ought.
Right.
Holy Spirit would pray, and I knew it was a calling.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was a season. And I would pray and pray through. And when I was finished, I just had total peace, and I praised the Lord. And go.
How do you know when you pray through? How do you know when you get to
the peace? The peace will come.
Yeah.
Because when you're praying, it's like a struggle. It's like you're praying through something. It's like there's an opposition that you're praying through. And you keep praying that until you have a note of peace.
Yes.
And then that peace, you feel a victory, and you start praising God.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, you may not know what you're praying for.
Yeah.
You may be praying for somebody over in another country. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit is using you to do His work on earth. And so it's an honor to do that. And so I went through that period, and I just, you know, it was very rewarding, because you knew that you were doing something for the Lord, for Him.
Hmm.
You were sacrificing for Him. And it never bothered my sleep. I go back to sleep.
Did you volunteer for that? Or it just came on you?
It just kind of came on me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I listened. Well, I'll tell you. I was listening to Dad Hagen. And he was talking about stuff like that. And then, you know, Dad Hagen and Dad Copeland, who you listen to, that anointing will come on you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Dad Hagen talks about that.
Copeland.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hear Brother Copeland.
I hear him.
What's that now?
I hear Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
Do you? Certain,
yeah. Even when Joe had the heart attack, I heard Brother Copeland.
Praise God.
I knew exactly what to do because I heard something that he had said, and that ministered to me. And I went, okay, that's what I have to do. But there was something he just said on this on that last clip. And he said, put a praise.
Yeah. Mm,
there it is.
But here's the thing about praise. You know, you can be going through something and you can read your Bible and you look at it and you don't know what you read because your mind is still processing stuff.
Right.
You can pray in tongues.
That's right.
And your mind can still process because your tongues is bypassing your mind.
There you go. Right. Yeah.
However, when you praise, you have to shut. The mind has to agree with your mouth.
Yeah.
And that has to stop that stuff that's going on.
It is true.
Right.
And that's how, what you praise. You're going to get more done in that praise than you were going to get anything else. That is a cure. The praise cure.
The praise cure.
The praise cure.
That's a book, Cynthia. That's a book.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
it's a song. If it's not a book, it's a song.
It's a song. But there is a praise cure because that causes the brain. You know, Brother Copeland gives you that test in the meetings.
Right.
And he says, count 1 to 5, then say your name. What happened to your counting?
Right.
It had to stop to hear what your mouth was saying. That's what happens with praise.
Mm-hmm.
And so praise is essential to get you through stuff.
Yes, it is.
That's whole true. PTSD thing, you got it. You got to praise through that.
That's right.
You have to praise through it. Because if you don't praise, all of the thoughts, all of the things, and another thing with PTSD, you are not guilty. If you've been in war, if you've been deployed, you're not guilty.
Right.
That's right.
You're not guilty.
That's right.
You did something that the Lord has already ordained. Is right.
Amen.
And you defended your country.
Yes.
So don't let the devil put those feelings of guilt. I have talked to my son's fellow soldiers, and one guy that had to shoot a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kid was dead either way.
Yeah.
Because his parents didn't care anything about him. They strapped the bomb to the kid. So what were you going to do?
Right.
Let 11 men die or let up? And somebody might not agree with that. But they were. If he wasn't dying, he was dying another day. So you can't come home and feel guilty about
that. No.
You can't.
You're serving the Lord through serving your country. Exactly.
So get into praise.
Yes.
The praise is going to walk you through.
Yes. Yeah. That's good.
That's good.
Amen to that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I loved it.
Matter of fact, let's just with that. Let's take a time out for just a second. I want to play clip 7. Don't be anxious about anything.
Right.
Gloria Copeland and Billy Bram are speaking together here. Refuse to fret and make your request, exactly what you're saying, known to God with thanksgiving.
Amen.
You can't trust the devil. You have to trust God.
Yes.
Gloria Copeland, Billy Bram, watch this.
You can't trust the devil.
You can't trust him. Mm-mm. But some people, they don't know it's him.
That's right.
They think it's kind of, you know, holy to worry or something. But Philippians 4, verse 6 is your move. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for absolutely nothing.
Or the Amplified says, don't be anxious about anything.
Yeah, do not fret. Here's what the Amplified says. I wrote it down here because I want to be able to, in my margin.
Yes.
Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything.
That's right.
But in everything, by prayer and petition,
with
definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. That is your part. And Brother Hagin said, that's your move. Now, if God asked you to do something you couldn't do, it would be unfair of God. But God is not unfair. You can do that. You can refuse to fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, don't forget to leave that out. I mean, don't leave that out. Make your requests known to God. That's your move. I refuse to fret about this.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to fret about it. Here's what I'd like to happen in the case, Lord, and I thank you for it. Now it's God's move. He can't move, though, until you did verse 4, or 6, Philippians 4, 6. Now his move is verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus.
That's the follow-up.
I refuse to fret. Here comes a rush. Peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
And that's exactly true, a peace that passes understanding. You're watching your home group, and we got our panel tonight. We're talking about what keeps you up at night, whether positive or negative. And one of these things is really what Billy Bram was just saying right there really goes to a text question that came in with I'm struggling how to deal with an insurance company that's refusing to pay about a loss of life and somebody in their family. She just gave you the answer right there in Philippians about your move and what to do about this. Here's one here. Romina, we have a child with a disability, and that keeps us up at night. I don't have that situation, but we used to try to trade off when ours were younger.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's even, maybe it's just a horrible analogy. Forgive me if it is.
Yeah.
But
it's tough. I can't imagine.
Yeah. But work together, get help, become a team.
Well, God will give you the grace for it too.
That's
I don't know that, you know, you are given the empowerment to raise the children that he gives you, and the wisdom of God will come as a result. But you have that grace to walk that through. And I always pray this. I have a friend that had, a good friend of mine, she had a son with autism, and he's nonverbal. And I've never seen such joy on a parent than to the way she parented him.
Praise God.
And that is what I'm talking about. There is joy in that. That child is loved, and there was just so much of that. But they did have a system. They had help. Mm-hmm. They had a system. And so always make sure that you have that. It does take a lot of help, and you have to humble yourself to ask for that help.
And listen, there's a whole ministry. Pastors, want your church to grow. There's a whole ministry there. If you can provide licensed people that are licensed in that and start some kind of a children's program for those families where they can go and attend the church service and their children are cared for in a room or in a facility. Yes. I'm telling you, you're going to grow.
Yeah,
because we watched that happen.
Yeah.
I mean, once they found out there was place for them to come to church with that child.
Yeah,
they came.
Word got out. Mm. I'm telling you, you want to grow?
And they needed that. They needed
and
that refreshing.
And they needed that
yes.
hour or so
they
to
need
break.
That refreshing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And know that that child, he was taken care of.
Right.
He was cared for, and there's people knew
and
what they were
loved,
doing.
They
and he's loved, and he's being taught the word in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they could go in and be taught the word. Listen, I'm
refreshed.
Telling you, Pastor, I just gave you something that revolutionized your church.
Even to extend it to giving them an evening.
And don't call it the disability room or anything like that. Come up with something, you know.
No.
The faith room. I don't care what it is.
Come up with something else. But even to the point of giving them an evening where they can get away. And to have people that you qualify and
you
that can go and help and take care. But to give them those few hours away would just help them.
Well, it helps restore their marriage. It helps give them that refreshing, that personal time.
But they all have
a
network.
That is helping.
With all the parents have a network in town.
Right.
And once they find out that
church
has a facility and a program for my son or daughter, and I can go to church with other parents like that, I'm telling you.
Or they could start that in their church and call other people to come in and get it rolling.
We'll get it right.
You know, that's a question of that you need wisdom on, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
So here's the way I handle questions with, I ask in faith, and I say, Lord, how is it that I got a break? As if that break has already happened. I say, Lord, when I was paying my house off, I said, Lord, I have money, right? I said, Lord, how is it that I pay that house off? It had already happened. And then you just listen. Just be still and listen. And you'll start hearing answers and start writing those answers down. And then start asking questions about the answers that you're getting. How is it that I contacted this church? How is it that this program got started? So you could be the beginning of all these programs.
So you're asking that even before it happens.
I'm asking it because
direction.
Yeah, I was talking to Brother Colton about that. He says, Dale, what you're doing is you're calling things that be not
as though
they were.
Yes.
So how is it
that
I paid my house off?
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
I had already paid it off.
Good.
But I was asking the question in faith. In faith that it has already happened.
Yeah.
In faith is now.
Yeah.
So just start asking those questions as if the problem has been solved. All right?
So Vincent has what keeps him awake at night is work stress and sometimes Facebook. Well, I can help you with one.
Get off Facebook.
Turn the phone off.
Okay. Here's this one. It's very interesting. And I think this is a great lead in possibly to clip number two. Because this lady wrote in about family situation. There's another one that has an adult son in Branson with brain tumor. She feels under condemnation that she's not there to help her son and all. This one, let me find it, sorry. Family problems with siblings and worry about always having to have it together for work. Sometimes I just can't. Quote people some days. And it's just things in the past and all of that. And so some of these are past things that are carrying over into their now, into their night. So if we could, guys, I want to play clip number two from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And it talks about don't form thoughts based on the past. Don't form your thoughts based on the past, because if you do, they will form into thoughts of fear. Clip two. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
That's good.
It's supernatural.
Do you remember, Gloria, some years ago, in fact, it was probably 20 years ago, when the Lord told me not to form our thoughts based on the past, because if you do, you'll form thoughts of fear. To form your thoughts based on the Word, you'll form thoughts of faith. Because if you think based on your past, you remember the Apostle Paul said, casting down those, forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward, going for the high call, going for the prize.
He said, this one thing I do.
This one thing I do.
Forgetting those things that are behind.
Forgetting the things that are past. Because if you do, you repeat the past. By fear, you'll bring to pass what already happened before. And that's really what was happening here.
And you just keep living a vicious cycle. Put it this way, take the rearview mirror down, you know. Not just the bad things in your past, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. This is the man that wrote the majority of the New Testament.
Right.
The bad things and the good things. He's always looking forward. I said at the beginning, when I can't sleep, it's usually about something I want to get accomplished. Something that, man, we got to get that done. I want to get that. And she'll hear me do this. Oh, get that house. We're getting that house.
Yes,
getting
yes,
that house.
Yes, yes.
That house is coming. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm doing that because sometimes I'm frustrated at the situation we're in right now. But, man, I'm talking about that car.
Amen.
I'm talking about that house.
Yes.
I'm talking about that kid graduating from college. I'm talking about this.
You see
yourself
about
that
in
ministry.
It.
And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right.
But I'll do that so much sometimes I'm just laying there awake. Oh, God.
Greg, you're sowing into your heart, brother.
That's basically what you're doing.
Yeah. You're sowing into your heart.
So perfect. Julia says this, that when I have trouble going to sleep, I put a preacher on my phone.
Yeah.
And she says, YouTube. If it's Satan trying to keep you from sleeping, he'll leave and you go to sleep.
There are times I put in ear and listen to someone. Yeah. Usually someone, not somebody that gets real excited, because then
you get wound up.
You get,
yeah. You can't, I get wound up.
You want to shout,
so you can't do Bill Winston because it can get wild.
Or Mark Hankins because you'll be laughing.
Right. Or you'll be laughing and you're trying to go to sleep. Yeah. And you put other people on that you could just listen to.
You don't have...
Huh? You?
Yeah, I'd make you go to sleep.
No.
No, okay, go ahead. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
I can put you on because I don't have any tapes of you. No.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, put on Keith Moore. He's kind of even. He really is kind
Brother
of his,
Brother his Brother Hagin is
and Brother, Brother Hagin. Yeah. Yeah. They have an you know, even when they raise up a little bit. But anyway, putting that in there, you're cutting everything else out.
Yeah.
And for the person who has an issue with Facebook in the middle of the night, you have to plug your phone in another room. And not on the nightstand.
Yeah.
Because the tendency is to pick it up and go, what's going on? You don't need to know what's going on.
So here's a text that says, people stay awake when they go to bed angry at someone, married couples, parents, kids.
Get that straightened out before you go to bed.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Don't let the sun go
down your wrath.
Right.
Because you'll sow that seed.
I had a lot of sleepless nights because of that verse.
You're supposed to be sleepless. You're supposed to be sleepless, Greg, when that happens. Because your heart is rejecting that. And it's trying to keep you awake.
What?
You had a lot of sleepless nights because you guys fight.
No,
is that
it?
See how it sounds.
Did that sound bad?
It sounded, like.
I wasn't referring to you. Yeah, I was just talking about.
I got that.
Help me, Chili.
Glad you cleared that one up.
But that's
the devil will bring people. You know that somebody said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing or what have you, and he'll try to get you stirred up. But we have to walk in love.
Yeah. See, I'll give you another verse. Do good to them that despise. That cost me a lot of money, that one right there. Yeah. I was handing somebody money.
You did the right thing, though. I bet you slept better after you did it.
Well, you can pray for them and do good, you know. There's a lot of things you can do. But the point is your heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, once you reach out in love, then your heart changes. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a big project with a large, 20,000 employees, one of my largest clients way back in the day. And some people stole that project through fraudulent means. So I had just learned about, walking in love and praying for your enemies and so on and so forth. And the Lord told me, pray for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They were paying a that board member
days,
under the
that
table.
That their days be short.
Boy, I struggle with that. So anyway, I started praying for them. I didn't want to, okay?
Right.
My mind and my soul wanted to go in and get chili on them.
Right, right, right.
Wanted to be the chili, old chili. Okay?
The old chili from Brooklyn.
You start raising up, man. But I kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept praying. And all of a sudden, my attitude changed.
Mm.
I literally started loving them.
Right.
They didn't do anything different. They were still robbing me blind. But I started, there's a love that set in. I actually started loving these people.
Right.
When that happened, it wasn't too long after that that they were caught.
Mm.
The FBI got involved. Mm-hmm. There was a board member getting money under the table, so on and so forth. And all of that circle was broken. And the Lord restored everything that I had.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah.
But it was through praying and the love of God.
Mm.
Love never fails.
Amen.
You were moving in the right direction.
That's right. Chili can fail.
Yeah.
You know, when chili wants to whoop up on somebody,
yeah.
You know, That's not the way to go.
That's not the right way to go.
Right. But the love of God is so powerful.
Right. So you kept working with the kingdom,
with the kingdom of God.
With the kingdom
that's right.
of God. So that's why it worked out.
That's
instead
right.
of working against
okay,
the kingdom
so
of God.
Okay, so ladies, right, yeah. ladies, while they do
to go the other way.
While they, right.
while they work this out in their own program over here. Part two.
We love each other, don't we?
We're kindred.
While you guys are working that out, ladies, let me get you involved here real quick. Liz, you're up. Here we go. Liz, what about spending too much alone time, quote, alone time, after the kids go to bed or to get chores done and not getting enough sleep? So apparently we get the kids to bed, and then now she's got all these things to do.
A bunch of things.
Help mama out here.
No,
help Liz out.
Rest, girl. Set it down.
Set it down. It'll be there in the morning.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Dishes will be there.
Sometimes you just have to let it go.
That's right.
Let it go.
Nobody's coming to your house to decide whether you're a really good housekeeper. And if they are, don't invite them back.
Oh, that's good. You're not welcome.
You just don't come. I'm serious. I don't invite people in my house like that. I've had somebody in my house and pointed out something, they ain't coming back.
You ain't welcome.
No, they're not coming back. Oh, you kidding?
Me and Jill figured out early on in our marriage that we couldn't get everything done. So we decided to spend time with each other.
Okay. Well, you can vacuum together. I don't know. Do something. No, it's all good. Let
it's
it go.
All good.
No stress on that.
No.
Put the kids to bed and go sit in the couch for a minute and read.
Yes. Enjoy life.
Put on Abbott and Costello. A Merry Heart does good life.
Abbott and Costello.
That's right.
Well, okay.
That would wake me up.
No, you just laughed.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Colette says this. I found that I should forgive the person before I go to bed, not keep the other person up to solve the problem. That's not letting the sun go down on my wrath. That's not what I was referring to. I was talking about me.
Please.
So, yeah, let me get that. Anybody comments on that? You guys want to?
What's that again?
This is what's great about not getting sleep. Because it's actually your heart is rejecting that thing that's trying to go into it.
That's good.
And it will not let you go to sleep. It says, you will not sow this into me.
Yeah.
It's like...
Almost like a gatekeeper.
It's exactly like your stomach. It's like you ate bad pizza, right? So your system gets upset and tries to get it out. So your heart acts the same way. Your heart, your spirit man acts the same way. I am not going to let you continue to put this in me.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you sick until you forgive, until you work this out, and then I'll let you go to sleep. So not getting sleep is actually great because it won't let you sow that into your heart. I was talking to Greg. Should have been talking to you.
In that sense, yeah.
Yes.
All right. Before we go, we just got a few minutes left. I want to do one last clip, if we could. This is clip four, and it's a prayer against the spirit of fear.
Mm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Gloria Copeland, Billy Brim, a prayer for those. This is a prayer for those of you who are bound with a spirit of fear. Here we go.
Praise God.
Billy and I want to pray for you. If you've been bound with this kind of fear.
Yes.
And you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. God wants you free and you can be free. And if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, then that's the first step. Make Him, give yourself to the Lord. Just say, Jesus, take me. Take me, Lord. I give myself to you. That's all I said was, just take my life and do something with it. Now, I'm going to address that spirit of fear.
Yes.
And you receive your deliverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Billy Brim and I bind the spirit of fear that operates in your life. And I command you, spirit of fear, you loose that person and you let him go. You let her go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cast you out by the finger of God with the word of God in the name of Jesus. And we pronounce you to be whole and free from that spirit of fear. When fear tries to approach you again, it'll be different. It's not coming from the inside. It'll be coming from the outside. Now, don't you let it in Jesus' name. We have spoken the name of Jesus, and that spirit of fear has left you. And now you just say with your mouth, I thank you, Lord. I receive my deliverance from the spirit of fear. I resist fear. Tell him, I'll resist fear. I'll never allow it back in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's broken over you right now.
It is.
You just receive that in Jesus' name. Listen to this. One of the things she said in there was perfect. It doesn't, how do I know when it's God? And how do I know? It's not coming. Fear is not coming from here. If it's coming from here, you know what force that is. If you're born again, spirit filled, it's going to come from here.
Right.
And I know that's God.
Amen. Yes, yes.
You had a verse.
I usually, in anything I'm dealing with, I go to Psalm 23. I believe the Word of God just circles around Psalm 23. And I meditate. So I go, I don't just quote the Word. I meditate on it.
Right.
I'll even start with the Lord. And I just dwell on the Lord for a minute. The Lord. And I tell you what, instantaneously, things just start to just fall off.
Yeah.
Is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, yeah, I mean, every single word, I meditate it. I chew it. I just dwell on it. And immediately when I go through that, it doesn't matter what I've walked through. It really doesn't. It does not fail me every time.
Amen. Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
So many of your comments, but I'm sorry, we didn't get to all of them. You know, big night, a lot of comments, a lot of things here. Artie has habitual dreams or nightmares that keeps him awake. So it sounds like a stronghold. Yeah. We got just a couple of minutes. You resist that. But Gloria just prayed over you.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's you receive that.
That's right.
Get up, begin to praise. Yeah.
Praise.
Change that narrative. Change the channel is what I call it.
Take the authority.
Submit to God. Resist the devil.
Yes.
Yeah. It didn't say that he might, if he feels like it, flee. It says he will.
But Jim, here's the other thing. What are you putting in you?
That's right. Before you go.
You're watching all these Halloween shows and all these scary movies and all that. What are you putting in you? You're playing violent video games. Right. Yeah. What are you sowing into yourself? Goes all the way back to what you're talking about, sowing corn or doing
some kind of green shot. Right. Yeah.
You're all absolutely right, because this time of year, everything, even on the food channel, they're making horrible cakes, horror cakes, or whatever. But if you're putting that in, what goes in is what's going
to
come out.
But the scripture covers that. It says submit to God.
Right.
That's what you're putting in.
Yeah.
You can't put in horror stories and submit to God. When you are in the Word of God, you're submitting to God. In other words, you're putting the Word in. That's submitting to God. Then you can resist the devil. You can't resist the devil before you submit to God.
It's good.
So here's the scripture for him. Here's the scripture. Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
So if you're having horror, if you're having nightmares, if you're having all these bad images haunting you, then what you need to do before you go to bed and all day long, you need to sow into yourself how much God loves you.
Amen.
And that will drive out horror.
Yes, it will.
That will drive out fear.
That's submitting to God.
You literally have 5 seconds.
No.
Good. All right. We think we've discovered many new features about proper sleep and sleep disorders. Many of the scientific ideas were already documented in your Bible. And some of our modern scientific knowledge is about sleep. Came from your Bible.
That
God loves you.
Yes.
And we love you.
And Jesus is Lord.